Hi there, beautiful people. Welcome to another fantastic episode of the Fontaka Junction Real Talk. And I do hope you had a fantastic week, enjoying a good weekend, gearing up for another way to go. In the studio with me, I've got the indomitable, the big chested, the strong breasted one. One and only Resh.
I'm sure when people see, when people eventually see me, they'll be like, where's the chest? Where's the big chest?
You've got a broad chest now. You're always getting things off your chest, you know, every other week. That's
talk
a
about
lot of weight carrying.
Talk about having a good week. You saw a man, they came after me on Twitter.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, I mean, you trended on Twitter. Yeah, I mean, you were a celebrity on Twitter this week.
I mean, I wasn't happy.
Are you looking for Elon Musk money? Is that why you did something? You tried to be controversial.
It wasn't controversial, but I mean, I just like that Twitter guys. They like to make what's it called? They like to make stories or issues out of a molehill, and then we have it. But I just told the truth. And
give our guys your handle so they can go check out what you said that caused the irk.
It was the
what's your handle first of all? What's your Twitter?
It's @Reshayo. @Reshayo.
That's it, but Fontaka, you get that @Reshayo. Follow him up on Twitter and so you can catch up our latest gist as well every now and then. Yeah. So what did you do?
Yeah, it was the Insta blog post regarding that Lawal lady.
Yeah, the Nollywood actress that said Yoruba guys started Nollywood.
And it was true. Like, I mean, I don't think there should be any controversy around that, really.
Why would you say that?
Someone would have to start it anyway, you know. And it just so happened that the Yorubas were the front runners of, I mean, Nollywood, you know, because, I mean, if you look at the stories of them, Hubert Ogundi and all that, they started way back, you know, in the 40s and all.
So, the 40s?
Yeah, the 1940s.
Come on, bro.
Yeah, that's...
But the Ogundi's ministry started in like 1960
they
something.
They started in the 1940s when they were younger, you know. I mean, they became bigger and bigger around that period when they were going up and down and all. Don't also forget that they have to train before they become.
Oh no, I feel you. You mean they started the craft much earlier? But are you not saying that they were the only ones who were training that part back then?
Yeah, if there were others.
Just because their story wasn't written doesn't mean that they weren't there. That's the problem with documenting history. Like, that's, you know, if you don't document, man, people can just claim things and you don't have any background. I find it very hard to believe that Yorubas are the only ones doing the art.
I'm talking of the people that are on the big stage, the people that are showcasing. I don't forget that. You see, if they were networked, you know, like the Yorubas were networked at the time, they too should be able to put there, because when I was growing up, the only movies that I know that was, I mean, box office sellout were Yorubas, Indian film, maybe a little of Chinese film, but majorly Yoruba, Indian film, and Chinese film too, because you have the Bruce Lees and all those guys. So I mean, those are the ones that I know when I was growing up. I mean, late 80s, 90s and all. Yeah, so that's the...
Yeah, anyways, you hope you enjoyed your period of fame while we're being dragged.
I've been dragged time and over.
Yeah, because you do be controversial. So, I mean, I also bonded, they won't stone your bottle when they find you in real life. But, yeah, let's get right into it, right? Lots of things going on this week, right? From the entertainment scene to... you know, the political scene and, you know, otherwise. But I want to jump on the big one. One of the big ones. One of Nigeria's most sensational and biggest musical exports in today's times. Burna Boy, the African Giant, finally dropped his... I said one of the. Don't drag me. Calm down.
their fathers were doing it before they were ever born.
Rich, what's your problem with people and their fathers? I mean, I get it. Like, everybody has their time.
Did you see?
This their time now. Let's see their fathers alone.
Did you see... that's what I'm saying. Like, you see, you have to always pay dues. Where it's due and all. And then you cannot just come and then start acting all cute with yourself. I mean, Fela was, everywhere, all over the world when he was doing his stuff. When King Sunny Ade, I saw one of his Japan tour as he did, you know, Japan tour. I mean, these guys have not really done, the only place that they know how to go is the USO.
It's the O2.
Yeah, O2 Arena.
No, but you put some respect on these guys. They're doing some good stuff as well, right?
They are, you see, doing good stuff is different from when you are really, really, I mean, honored and respected. And don't forget that them Fela, they were musicians. Them Fela were musicians. Them King Sunny Ade, they were musicians. They were playing instruments. They're the conductors of their cast and all, you know. So, but I mean, I'm not saying like maybe he's not, I mean, he's doing well, you know, in his way and all, you know, but they should always give due where it is due.
We didn't argue that we're not giving due.
They should give respect
We give respect to the great fella and the likes. Talking Burna Boy, his latest album, I told him, it's dropped. But it's dropped there. I missed a bit of controversy. And you know, I feel like these days, all these artists, they feel like before they drop their projects, they have to just do something to stir up the nest and get people talking before they drop their product. I don't know if that's a new strategy. Before his album drops,
controversy sells. So
I guess so, right?
No, but that's it. It's typical entertainment gimmick. Yeah. I mean, if you know how to do it very well. Yeah.
Well, we need to draw the line, right? Because what Burna Boy has done is, I mean, one of his interview is literally come out and say, you know, Afro beats is crap, right? Why are you tagging Afro beats as a theme or a genre?
Did he say it was crap?
In summary, that's what I was trying to say, right?
No.
Like when you tag African musicians as Afro beat genre, it's like you are trying to put us in a cage or box us in a genre that doesn't really mean anything. So he's trying to say his own style is different, right? He's talking about Afro fusion, where he's using some of the drums and bringing some new contemporary sound to his music. And again, it's like, I feel like Burna Boy has this godlike complex or this, you know, need to feel like he's so special. He always has this need to project himself as someone doing something so different from the rest. Meanwhile, to be honest, he's just like everybody else. He's got some talent. Yeah, but why doesn't feel the need to shit on everyone else so that he can feel like he stands apart? His album is okay. I listened to a few tracks, not that bad. But to be honest, Burna Boy is an artist, as a human being, I don't really roll with him.
I read what he said, and I don't think.
It was an interview.
I didn't read. I listened to what he said, and I don't think there is any controversy in that sense with whatever he said. You know, I think he was just referencing the recent Afro beats, you know, and all, which is just danceable. You know, there is really no no content in that sense. It was just danceable, everybody just dance, you know, and feel good and all that. And he was saying like he would rather share his experience, you know, I mean, downside and upside, you know, and all. So I mean, I don't think there is, I mean, like I said. And I think, I mean, don't also forget, they always cut out, you know, the sound bites, you know, those short clips and all. That's the one that they will release, you know, to the world.
I listened to most of the interview.
Yeah, I listened to most of the interviews.
Yeah.
I listened to most of the interviews.
What did he say? There was an interview he had as well where he claimed that when he got to the US, and he was in a room with J. Cole and some of his crew, and they were talking. And when he was finished talking, J. Cole turned to his guys and was like, "Wow, this Burna Boy is so smart. He's like the African Tupac." I'm like, "Nigga, get out of here. Why does he feel like what is it about Burna Boy that makes him think he's so much better? What does he mean by the African Tupac?"
The only thing I know is that,
is it like some savior? Savior of African music.
I always like to hear people out, and whatever he said in that video, like I was saying, wasn't controversial. I don't know about the African Tupac.
It was, because guess what? He said every other person that's doing music in Africa doesn't have content. That's what he said. He's literally labeled everyone else who has accepted the Afrobeat music, like Wizkid, who has said for the longest time, you know, his own mission is to push Afrobeat, right, yeah, as a major export.
But are they really making sense? Are they really making sense?
Bro, my point is, yeah, not everybody is going to be a lyrical monster, right? Afrobeat as a style, as a genre, has never really been about the lyrics. It's been more about
the rhythm. Who said?
No, yeah, that's a fact.
It's
been more about the rhythm, the percussions, the beats, right? And people.
Who created Afrobeat?
Who created Afrobeat? Tell me,
who
fella.
The people that created Afrobeat.
I'm asking you, okay, who created Afrobeat? Tell me.
Tell me now. Tell me.
You want to you reference said, fella, right?
Hold on. You
and
said,
the question I want to ask said, you is that fella, when fella was singing, does fella strike you as a lyrical monster when he listens to his lyrics?
What do you mean?
Did fella ever strike you as some genius, as some lyrical composer of our time when fella did music?
The question that I'm asking is, you said, what's it called? These guys are, they just do dance or they just do whatever.
I said the lyrics has never been the major component.
Okay,
you
said
Afrobeat.
The lyrics has never been.
I didn't say that they don't need lyrics.
So
I said
now,
the focus is not on lyrics.
Okay, so now, if Burnaboy now echoes that sentiment, what has he said that is wrong?
Nobody cares about Burnaboy's opinion. Burnaboy should do what he needs to do on his side.
And
he should not shit on other people's style because he wants to be able to stand out. And that's my point. It's okay for you to say that your style is different. You put more emphasis on telling a story.
But I always said it.
In your music.
Burna Boy has not said anything.
He does not need to say that.
Burna Boy.
Other people
say,
who do Afrobeat.
Burna Boy did not say anything that I've not said.
I don't know what you're not
which
saying.
Which word?
Burna Boy should not. Burna Boy should not be saying that the people who do Afrobeat don't have content.
And I told you that.
Don't have this. They are just making noise.
We've had this discussion before.
Sound.
And I
because
you.
Guess what? Burna Boy rode on the wings of Afrobeat to get to the level he is today. Nobody listened to Burna Boy before because he was sounding lyrical.
Me and you
sounding
have had
out
this
of this world
before.
Like a lyrical composer.
We have had this discussion
the
before.
Only reason why Burna Boy got attention in the first place was because he hopped on the Afrobeat wave. You can't now say that now that the wave has helped you, you now shit on it, you close the door, you slam everybody else so that you can paint yourself as some unicorn game.
We have had this conversation.
That's so different from anyone else.
We have had this conversation before. And I told you that majority of the musicians that we have here, I mean, around these days, they don't have any substance to themselves. They just do dance all, and that's it. I've said it before. So whatever Burna Boy is saying is not new to me. It is what I believe too and all. So if you are going to do songs, you know, that shares your experience, if you are going to do songs that kind of resonate with people, that people can actually
again
sit back,
you missed
and
the point
reflect,
again
then
you
that's
missed,
that's
again,
that's what, that's
you
what
missed
good music
the point,
is
Resh.
Yeah, what's the point?
The point is, it is okay for Burna Boy to say, this is my style, this is how I want to do
music.
But
there is nothing.
It is not okay.
Completely.
It is not
absolutely
okay
wrong
to,
with what he
it
said.
It is not okay to talk down.
He wasn't talking
on everyone. That's
he
what he's done.
Down.
He's talked down
he
on everyone else.
Down. He wasn't
he's talked
down.
Down on everyone else that falls or accepts
down.
The Afrobeat music.
Neither am I.
Right? And I said, oh, me, I'm the one that understands what it is to do music in Africa.
He wasn't
me,
down.
I'm the one that is creating a path. That is
I
going
am
to
not,
stand us out.
It is not like
everyone else is doing crap because they don't have substance.
It's not like
that's
I'm
exactly
holding.
What he's
it's not like I'm holding forth for him. He just shared my sentiment that I've always held, you know, regarding all these musicians. If you are going to do music that me I like to listen to, do music that resonates, do music that sells something that people can reflect on, because that's what the craft should be about, you know. But if you are just going to do music and everybody's just going to dance and get high, you know, and then what's it called, be promiscuous and live a life that is what's it called, that doesn't really what's it called make sense and all, well, at the end of the day, what do you always get out of those things? You get high, Not really. That's what they do.
It's
that's
music that lifts your spirit. It's not really one that gets
high. How does music lift your spirit?
Yo, the sound, man, the beat,
yeah,
the rhythm.
Yeah, so then,
that,
so
that could lift
so
your
what,
spirit.
So what does that?
I don't necessarily
so
have
what
to
does that do afterwards?
Alcohol because I'm listening.
So
to
what
the
does
video.
It do afterwards?
Nothing no. happens afterwards.
Okay, there is.
Let me ask you a question. What does it do afterwards? You when you listen to Burna Boy? You don't even listen to
I don't
Burna
listen
Boy,
to
so
Burna
exactly.
Boy.
Now.
That's what I'm
you
saying.
You don't even understand what you're defending.
What I'm
my point
no, no, no. What you're not getting. You're not getting.
What? How do you
what,
feel
what
if
me,
you listen to a Burna Boy song?
What
today?
Me I'm saying is
there is really no difference in what Burna Boy sings
what
and every other Afrobeat actor. He helps on the same beat. He helps on the same sound. Okay, let's say because he's worked with some international producers. In his latest album, he's tried to do two or three tracks that have a new some new incursions with contemporary American beats. But the majority of his album is still very Afrobeat related. So what exactly is he trying to say? He's just trying to say nonsense so that people will talk and then his album will gain traction. That's all. There's no
yeah,
substance
the,
in what he said.
What me I just know is that, I mean, I've told you some of my favorite music artists. My boy, what's he called? My boy, Johnny Boy.
Who's
he's
that?
One of them. Johnny Boy. The Johnny Man.
Johnny Drill.
My girl, Asha. Asha is very good too. Yeah, so those are the
you are mentioning
those are,
great guys who do good
those,
stuff in
those,
their lane.
Those
appreciate that
no,
their
you
lane
see,
is different.
No.
And are committed to pushing
can you give me
that
space?
Lane
can you give
to
me
relevance.
Space? Can you give
and
me
I
space?
Agree with you when you mentioned those
can
examples.
You give me space?
But at no time has Asha or Johnny Drill come out and speak derogatorily about other
can
music generals just so that you can look at him and say wow this guy's a pioneer of a new style.
Can you give me
that's
space?
My point.
Can you give me space? I understand
space.
What you're saying. I understand what you're saying. Yeah, but there is the element of separation that comes with every artist. If you really want to what's it called, if you really want to separate yourself and stand out, that's the type of mentality that you have as maybe an artist, a sportsman, you know, wherever you find yourself, and you know, it's a competitive environment and all. Competitive environment and all. That's the type of mentality that you have. You know, like I said, I listen to him. I don't really
to
think
who?
The Burna Boy now,
okay.
the interview. I don't think that he said anything that is out of, you know, and all. But if you listen to just the soundbite, it's I mean definitely going to make you I mean resent him because that doesn't sound well. But if you listen to the whole gamut on everything that he said, you know, entirely, he wasn't really putting it down. He's just saying like for him he would like to share his experience, he would like to share some down if he I mean and in humans they go through down times and go through highs and all that. I mean that's what he thinks his song should speak to, you know, and all, which kind of makes and that's what I'm saying. Like I listened to the interview because when the controversy started and everybody was like, man, this guy's that. No, I said, I went to the source. I went to really listen to what he said. And I don't really think he said anything, you know, outlandish, you know, in that sense.
Yeah, so well, I hear you. For Burna Boy, I'll always say that while I agree that he is talented, I don't think anyone can deny the talent that Burna Boy has got. I think he has a lot of problems when it comes to managing his character, managing his image. I think he gets ahead of himself a bit too much. Luckily for him, he has an agent, which is his manager, let me say his manager, mother, who has done an incredible job at trying to curtail a bit of his excesses. But I think that because today Burna Boy is how do I call it now, a musician that's getting a lot of attention and is beaming Nigeria out there.
Is he really getting
right?
attention? Because
yeah, he really is. They
are giving
yeah,
him
I
all
mean,
the peanuts that they are giving him with their streams, like the money that they are streaming.
He's signed to Atlantic Records. What do you think? They're
I
going
mean,
to milk him dry normally. So and that's a deal you make because you want to go international, right? So it's a trade-off. And as long as he thinks that trade-off is worth it, he'll continue doing it, right? So that's by the wayside. The point I'm really trying to make is that Burna Boy needs to just get to a point where maturity and self-reflection comes in. I still think it's a big fraud, right? Because he sells an image of himself that he wants people to see, which is a false, which is a facade. right? Burnaboy tries to claim that he's the people's warrior.
That kind of,
you know, he makes statements like my people this, my people that. And it's the same cycle, it's the same guy at every opportunity who will say he doesn't like the Nigerian people because we don't respect him, because we don't give him accolades. So when he wants to do stuff, he will do his listening party in Atlanta or in Paris, or he'll do stuff outside. He's forming international musician now. He doesn't want to associate with Nigerians. And my point is, who do you think even made, you know, European music lovers listen to you in the first place? It's not because they're trying to sound like them or because they're trying to sound cute. It's because your people put you in that pedestal. Your people loved you so much that the rest of the world began to take notice of you. So you can't keep saying, oh, I do this for my people. When you are singing, you are calling my people, you are forming like the activist, the musician activist that Fela was. Meanwhile, every chance you get, you are quick to shit on Nigerian people, right? I just think, for me, that's hypocritical. And it's only a matter of time before that catches up to him if he doesn't act up straight.
What's it called? Everything that you have said. I mean, I don't really have much to say about it. But for me, if he's getting a lot of streams and he's getting a lot of love, you know, from when he started, you know, that means he must have gotten the attention of the listener. You know, and all, and that's what pushed him to where he was, so, or where he is. So it's not like maybe you listen more to him, so I don't know.
I listen to him, but yeah, I'm aware of all of the things that go on.
I saw him at Jimmy Fallon
show.
Yeah, and then, you know,
he performed.
That's where I saw him. I was like, okay, I mean, cool and all, but for me, looking for all these American validation and all those stuff, I said that too when Kunle was hassling, when they said they didn't select one of his movies for
BET, was it BET?
No, it wasn't BET. I mean, it's the Oscars and all.
Mm.
You know, I'm like, guys, the only thing we owe ourselves is good product. Put good product out. If they don't recognize, if they don't call you, then leave it alone. Why must we, kind of be so obsessive about, they need to give me the Grammys, or they need to give me credibility. I need to go and sign, you know, with people that are just going to milk me dry and all. You know, but then, if you also look at the dollar equivalent, you know, it's something that, I mean, somebody can hold on to here, really, you know, in that sense, you know. But at the end of the day, until we build our own infrastructure and we support our own artists and all, that is when we will know what we are really worth, really, you know, because the numbers is there. We have all it takes, you know, for us, you know, to be at the top of our game, playing, you know, alongside the best of them in the world.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, I think those are the things that we need to look at.
Yeah. All the best to Burnaboy. His album, I told them, is out. I'm streaming on all our platforms. I think it's not bad. Okay, so an okay album. But
I've not even listened to it. So I don't
know. Yeah, listen to a few tracks, not bad. But I mean, I just think that as a person, it's really not my cup of tea. Moving on to another interesting topic this week. I want to really wrap this one up. Portable. Seems like this man always has a way of just getting in the news on a daily basis. A controversy at the NBA conference that held in Abuja. After the conference was concluded, the NBA organized a concert called The Unbarred for our legal luminaries to unwind. And the video clip circulated online of lawyers storming out of the venue, apparently in protest to the fact that they found out that Portable was one of the guest artists or was the guest artist that had been invited to perform at the show. And I mean, it caused a lot of controversies, different comments left, right, and center around that. People say that, why on earth will you invite Portable to perform for serious minded professionals like lawyers. Like,
are they really serious minded?
How low can you reduce the NBA to at this point?
Are they really serious minded? Are the log, are the guys at the NBA, are they really serious minded? They had a I think maybe it was a charity or whatever match that they had, that they were punching. they were punching themselves. Oh God, I've never seen an organization that kind of just put their dirty linen outside so much. And I think it has always been our issue, like typical of us, really, you know. Yeah. And that is like, I better pass my neighbor. I have to be the loudest voice. I have to be the one making decision. When the NBA, when they want to select president, we see all the chaos that surrounds that.
Yeah.
That's this guy. What's his name now? That big guy.
Akpata guy. Yeah, he's running for governor now.
I think he's running for governor in those states. Yeah. Those states. You know, how he became president too was shrouded in funny, you know. So the NBA, they need to get their acts together, really. They need to get their acts together. They were the one that said they wanted to ban the Ifunanya lady.
Yeah.
Ifunanya.
Yeah. The baddest lawyer.
Do you know the funny thing is? I've never heard of that baddest lawyer before. Mm. Until the NBA went to look for her, brought her out.
No, I mean, I've never heard of her. To be honest, I don't know what part of Twitter you've been on. I mean,
no, but seriously,
her claims have always been popping up. Her pictures have always been popping up.
I'm on Twitter for as much as anybody. And well, I've the never algorithm, seen her.
You know, you're one of the religious good guys on Twitter. So algorithm is not pushing some baddies to you. That's why I don't see.
No, but I look for serious news. But anyway, Shamira, of course, I don't look for all those gossip news and all those stuff.
Yeah, really, so. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, so I mean, but I don't know. Yeah, so they're now saying that Portable doesn't represent.
So let me ask you, is there anything wrong in asking Portable to perform for lawyers?
Well, for me, I'm just like, you know, I mean, Shebi, the bar, the Nigerian bar, they are saying like they're a respectable organization. That's why they are going after the Funaya girl, because she's not projecting them well and all and everything. What does Portable represent? What does Portable project?
And I think we joke a lot in this country, because just recently as well, we saw the NDLEA, that's Nigerian Drug Law Enforcement Agency, literally come out and say that Naira Marley is not going to be one of their brand ambassadors. Or not brand, one of their ambassadors. And then they had the guy coming. Naira Marley was saying, don't do drugs. Drugs is not good for you. And then they took group photos. I'm like, are you whining me? Are you whining me? Naira Marley, how can Naira Marley be a brand ambassador for drug campaign and anti-drug campaign? Naira Marley, that is a pipe on his own. He's a full-on conduit pipe for drug. I mean, how do we even think in this country?
I think it's a reflection of us. You know, sometimes when you look at when you kind of try to evaluate the reality that you're seeing, it feels more like you are in some very non-fiction,
like type in the
of,
Matrix.
Yeah, like you're in a fiction type of film. Like they are watching, they are wondering, like, is this really happening? Like, is that what it is and all? Well, I mean, I think the NBA needs to get their act together. They need to get their act together, really. You know, and they are not under any moral right, to be gatekeeping anybody. If they are the one, they're having their their annual stuff and they're inviting Portable, their Portable guy.
Well, but they did see that Odogwu Bitters was one of the sponsors of the event. And since Portable is signed to Odogwu Bitters as an ambassador, it was only normal for them to bring him.
Okay.
So at this point, it's like,
so does it mean that the Nigerian bad guys, they need Odogwu Bitters a lot?
Yo, it's crazy. We need to go on a very quick break, but don't go anywhere. We're going back. When we come back, we'll be discussing some other trending topics. Catch you all when we return.
Oh, God. We'll
Hey, 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 it's your girl Green G, all the way from Germany. My latest single Hochenau featuring T God Da Flamspita is officially available on all streaming platforms. Keep streaming, streaming, streaming. Also keep listening to my guys LA and Reg at Fontaka Junction. Real talk. What's up?
If we're tough like cement, we're water don't spoil. Scratch like Joe with the crow boy.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. If you are enjoying this episode and you like what you're hearing, I encourage you to click on the subscribe button or the follow button, depending on what platform you're listening to us on, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon. We drop episodes every week, back to back, and we discuss trending topics, we give opinions, and we like to shape conversations. Now, back to the matter. So I'm sure some people were thinking I'm beefing on Burna Boy based on what we talked about in the first part, but I mean, it's all love over here, right? We just try to be as unbiased and as honest as possible, and hopefully, you know, we can get people acting right, because we're all ambassadors of this great country at the end of the day. Speaking of this great country, one of our major leaders during the past government, the Boris government, Loretta Onoche, she used to be the chairman of the NDDC, that's Niger Delta Development Commission. Following on from the, you know, handover to the new administration, all the former portfolios or head of portfolios have asked to resign. And those positions have been given to new people. So naturally, Loretta will have to retire back to her home, wherever home is, right? And live the rest of her life in peace and enjoyment. Unfortunately, Loretta has had to deal with some early skirmishes on the return to her home. Interestingly, she's gone back to the UK. She's tried to return to a home she owns in the UK, but unfortunately that house has been occupied by family members who have now refused to leave. And that has led to a series of videos being released online as we are struggling to find out what the real truth is. Some reports have said that Loretta is the landlord and she is forcing the tenants to leave without any due process, while others have said that that house actually belongs to her and her cousin and his family were the ones occupying the building while she was serving in a capacity under Boris government. And now that she's done and wants to retire back to her home, they have refused to leave. This is very messy, to be honest, because I saw the video. Have you seen the video? There was some kid there was literally threatening Loretta that she's going to flog her with belts if she doesn't leave the room. what the hell?
That was very disrespectful. I don't know. I mean, who trained that small boy? You know, but they are training. They have a what's it called? They are breeding a monster. You know, if they don't take care, if they are not careful, because I don't know how a young boy of that. I mean, I don't think the boy will be more than maybe 6 years old.
Yeah, he's a child.
I don't think so. So for a child to be talking to an adult like that, I think that's not a good, upbringing, you know, that you're giving to the child. Really, you know, there should be, out of bounds, you know, for a child to be talking to an adult like that.
And, you know, just on the side note, the challenge is, and that's one of my biggest problems when it comes to African people raising kids in the UK.
Is it just in the UK?
No, particularly in the UK. I'll be honest with you. In the UK, there's a limit to which you can actually discipline a child. Right. You really can't lay a hand on a child because they are doing wrong. You can't discipline a child in the way that you would in an African setting. Child services will actually take the child and they might just even very much arrest you. Right? And now, you have a child like that at 5 or 6, already saying, get out of my room, nobody wants you here, I'll flog you, I'll beat you, you guys carrying a belt, and he's saying all kinds of things. The mom is in the room, she's not even saying anything. So it's like, that's normal level for the child. By the time that boy turns 16, he's going to literally, you know, become a terrorist in that house, right? And the parents won't be able to tame him. At that point, it'd be too late. And you can't discipline the child.
Yeah, for me, I just feel like, I think it's a thing. It's a thing in, I mean, in the West, really. Not just the UK. That's what I was asking.
You in America, you can flog the hell out of a child and nobody. No, you can call the cops and the cops will just come and say, oh, they'll take the statement and nothing will happen.
There is a degree that you can go. I mean, you could say maybe that it is not as...
It's not as bad, I'm telling you.
It's not as bad. Maybe you can say it's not as bad as the UK, but it is in America as well. You can't, social service will come and take your child away too. I mean, I mean, my friend in Germany too, she says the same thing, really.
Mm.
You know, when the daughter is getting, what's it called, stubborn and all, she was like, ah, man, I can't afford to be that. You know, yeah, OMG. So it's a thing there, really. But the question is why, I think the house belongs to the Loretta lady. You know,
allegedly.
But I thought they said she's now retrieved the property back, you know, and
She put out a tweet where she said she's finally been able to reclaim her home.
I don't think she would have any qualms, you know, buying a house for herself, you know, being the chairman of the NDDC, right?
Yeah,
you know, so I don't think she would have a qualms buying a house for herself in the UK. I'm sure it's some family member that just, you know, think, you know, I mean, your money is their money, you know, and they come and with all those their, you know, what's this thing called?
Entitlement
mentality, you know, I mean, laying claim to what they didn't work for and all that, you know. And then the question is, why is Onoche or Loretta Onoche? Why is she living in the UK?
You get that? I thought you'd have just come back.
I thought you'd be living in Niger or
Nicha or something, and just have one house somewhere.
I mean,
why is she retired to the UK, right?
Yeah, I mean, we have a long way to go, really. You know, because if you see the way, I mean, we handle the same thing with Madueke. What's her name?
Alison.
Alison Madueke.
Deziani.
She too. She's left back to. What's it called? I mean, I don't know where she is.
She went to the UK. I think they're prosecuting her now, finally, in the UK.
Prosecuting her?
Yeah, the UK wasn't prosecuted.
Well, I don't know much about that. But I saw some case around, you know, maybe they are going to prosecute her or whatever, but I don't know the details. You know, but what bottom line is, these guys, they come back to Nigeria, become ministers, become whatever, become everything and all and everything, you know. And maybe after 8 years, they go back. Doesn't that show that...
But it's probably best for them to go back, because when you serve in that capacity, do you know how many oxes you've got? Do you know how many even family members that you've disappointed because they maybe thought, oh, you would have done this for them, done that for them, or maybe you didn't meet the expectations, and then they are not people you can actually go back to anymore. You don't have a home to go back to when you're done serving, and then the best thing for you to do is just find somewhere far away where you can retire to safely. I don't have a problem with people who serve this country and then think after they're done, they need to go somewhere else. Depending on what your experience has been, you know, while you were in service. Sometimes they forget that these people are human beings. They're normal people like me. I mean, it's just that they have political position and then they are surrounded by the old razzmatazz that comes being a political office holder. But once you take that office away from them, they're just normal people like me and you. They have family members. They have people who are crying on their neck for school fees. Or house.
But the thing with it is,
drama.
Did they count the cost before they jumped into the fray? That's also another thing. If you know why you are coming, and that's the thing. See, we don't have the heart of service. You know, we just want to come there, occupy the post, have that title, and you know, when the chips are down, we just pick race. We just go back to our little nest, where we think we are safe in that sense, you know. But for me, I just feel like that's a downer on their side, really. If they've come to become ministers or whatever they came to do in Nigeria, and the environment is still not conducive enough for them, they have to run back, you know, it shows that we have a long way to go, a long, long way to go, really, you know, because the whole idea is bring all those heads back to Nigeria, you know, so that they can come and was it contribute to development and all of us can, you know, come back home, a lot of us can come back home, you know, and actually abroad, you know, where, you know, it is our, you know, origin and all that, but then it is what it is, really.
Yeah.
You know, but I hope, I mean, she's able to resolve the issue with the family, you know, but one, the only thing that the highlight for me was that small boy talking to an adult, like the way she
like, we know fear, that's a problem. That's a ticking time bomb.
It's a ticking time bomb, it's a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah, and let's talk about family people, really, because when you look to the, when you look at the in-depth of this story, right, based on Loretta's own account, that house had been there while she was serving, you know, the government, and she had a cousin who was stranded, right, and then she offered for the cousin to, you know what, take this place, be there, you know, I'm not using it right now, you guys can stay with your family, right? Apparently the guy
stuff like that
had not been paying the rent of the house. He'd been living there freely. Loretta had been the one, you know, paying the rent of the house, maintaining the house, and now that she was done, she's coming and said, you know what, this is where I'm coming back to, can you just, you know, there are three bedrooms in this house, clear two rooms out, I'll occupy the two rooms, so I'll use the two rooms to I'll make use of the two rooms, and you guys can still stay. I mean, she was even saying, you know, you guys can still stay, but apparently that was a problem because these guys are like no, the question now is, we don't even know why they are refusing for them to, why they are refusing her to come in. We don't know this is the full story yet, but the story from Loretta's side is they weren't paying rent, they were living large in the building, she's coming and they are not bulging, and she's like, I guess this is the things that I get for trying to help family out. And we hear this all the time with people.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
family people just being
entitled,
ungrateful.
Yeah, that's unreasonable, really. Yeah, like I said, really, it's typical of, I mean, of the entitlement mentality, you know, where people think your money is their money, you know, and they just want to, I mean, fleece you and just want to, I mean, they just want to, I mean, then if you are now taking a stand, if you're like what she's doing, you know, what they are now trying to do is put her out like maybe she's some bad person.
Yeah.
She's some bad, what's it called and all. But they felt their own hand with that small boy talking like that, really. You know, it shows their own value as a family, you know, for you to allow your young boy to be talking to somebody like that, really. You know, I mean, that's on bull, really. That's on bull.
Yeah. That's really just sad, to be honest. On a side note, there's news that an RCC G pastor named Afolabi Olaoye has now become the new shown of Ogbomoso. Essentially,
yeah, I saw that.
and I know that every week it seems like we're always dancing precariously across religious lines, but I scratched my head a little bit on that one, because from what I know, when traditional titles as a KBAC, there are certain rites you perform and there are certain positions you occupy as a KBAC of a Yoruba land, right? You typically be the head of all the Orisha, you know, you'll be like the mouthpiece and the earpiece to Ifa on some matters. There are some rites that only you will perform as well, based on being the traditional paramount leader in that area. How does a RCCG pastor, let me not even say RCCG, how does a pastor decide that that is the role that he has decided to take, knowing fully well what his faith, you know, teaches and the path that his faith directs? This is confusing for me.
Well, you know the thing, you know why I think, I mean, I'm not bothered by that. And that is the beauty, you know, of, I mean, this Christian faith. That's the beauty of it. You have a reserved right to say you're not doing it again. Seriously, and nobody is going to kill you for that, really. You know, And I, for me, I think that's the ultimate, That's the ultimate, gift you can give to any man, which is make your decision. You know, don't do that because you are afraid of me or you are, Then guess what? There is this thing that is trending on Twitter, you know, now. You know, and a lot of guys have been doing it. You know, I don't know if you have ChatGPT on your device. You know, you say make a joke about Jesus Christ. You know.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, I saw it.
It will tell a joke about Jesus Christ. Yeah. Make a joke about Muhammad. You say no, I'm not allowed to.
I'm not allowed to make jokes around religious that can be kinikon.
You know,
but I can gladly make a joke about Jesus Christ.
And like for me, I feel that. I mean, I would embrace a religion like that. If we're going to use the word religion, I would embrace a religion like that because it gives you the right to decide whatever you want for yourself and all, you know. So I'm sure the pastor possibly will resign from his job, you know, and he would take on the role of Ifa worshiper.
No, I don't even understand what you're saying, Resh. Are you saying that kind of, I mean, listen, let's stop making it.
That's what I'm saying now.
Not because there's some liberty with Christianity doesn't mean we should make a mockery.
You see, you're not making
what you are saying here is that there's freedom to make mockery.
No.
I can't imagine someone who has accepted the faith. You've been walking in the faith.
Yeah.
You are a leader, a shepherd in the faith. You now see opportunity to become KBAC. You now conveniently dump everything that you have followed concerning your faith. You even neglect the fact that you have been a shepherd of others and then jump at the opportunity to become a traditional ruler. And you are telling me that's the beauty of the religion. What are you saying?
Yeah, but I mean, if you follow the story of the Bible, you know that the person that sold out Jesus Christ was one of his camp guys that sold him out.
Judas Iscariot.
Yeah, so, sold him out for.
Okay, so.
Yeah, that sold him out. So that's what I'm saying. Like, that is the beauty, and that's what I love about the Christian faith, which is that you have a reserved right to do whatever you choose to do. But I mean, I think now what everybody's going to wait for is going to wait for the afterlife to see the consequences of that. But I don't like it when you are made or you are coerced to submit to a particular God, all in the guise of, oh, this is the ultimate God and all. That's what I'm saying. These guys, I mean, they are the one, they are self-will now. They decided, okay, I want to follow the Christian faith and all. I think it's working. I think it's something that I want to be about and all. And then they saw another thing that seemed to them to be more, more ideal for them in that sense. And they followed it.
How convenient. So, my ideal is greed.
Yeah, I mean,
it's greed and hypocrisy. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
And you are saying you enjoy the tradition, the religion because of that.
That's
bullcrap. That's bullcrap.
Well,
listen,
to you,
Resh,
that's what Resh, it is to you.
Really. Resh. Let's get to a point in life. And that's why nobody takes the Christian religion seriously. That's why they joke about Jesus. Let's come to a point in life where you can call a spade. Yes, Christianity gives you the liberty to choose and free will. That does not mean that you have liberty to also make a mockery of the religion. I can someone that has been a pastor. He's not Christian, no. A pastor. They now come and tell you that your family line is in line to take over the traditional. You now jump at it and say, you know, the greater deception is now saying, in his own reign as the traditional, whatever they call it, of Ogbomosho, you know, they will give freedom for all religions to be practiced. Christianity, Islam, and the traditional. Who is he kidding? You have been installed as a traditional ruler. Who is going to be allowing you to sing praise and worship in the shrine?
Well, you know, I'm still going to reiterate, like, that is the beauty of being a Christian. And I mean,
don't say it's a beauty. It's not a beauty.
That's
for just, me. It's a loophole.
No. That
it's
no,
not. But, nothing beautiful so about
now,
it.
Now, what you're saying?
Beautiful about now. It because I'll tell you why there's nothing beautiful about it. Because on the last day, Jesus will judge you because you turned your back on the faith. So how is it beautiful? You're making an error. It's a beautiful.
No,
thing.
But you see, but that's the thing. What I'm saying is, I'm not saying like maybe he's not what's it called? I'm not saying that he's not made an error, you know, but it is still left to him. For him to make that decision. So for me, I like it that it is not the religion that coerces you. You can imagine some people, if before they make that decision, they probably would have said to themselves, like, ah man, how am I going to face, you know, what's it called, the panel, or how am I going to face, you know, the leaders of my faith, you know, and all. Because I mean, we know that some places you can't even say that. God help you. You utter that you are now backing down from your so-called faith. You are done for. They will just kill you.
Yeah, that is probably what I probably subscribe for that, especially when you're a pastor. It's just like a cleric now, a Muslim cleric or someone, an imam now saying he wants to go and become something.
Oh God!
You cannot go anywhere. Why are you going to? After you have led people, you have directed in one path. You now say you want to go. Where are you going to?
For me, that's the beauty of Christianity, and I would encourage people to embrace such, you know, faith, you know, that doesn't force you, that just allows you to be the one to make your, any time at all that you like, you can recant and say, I've been joking since.
That's making a mockery.
I want to go back.
That's making a mockery of your faith.
But then, it's also born out of the experience. You know, what have you experienced because of your faith journey and all that convinces you that maybe.
So, this guy has experienced something in Ifa that has made him.
Well, of course,
hypocrisy in the faith. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, but it's still.
This guy is a pastor, probably been doing it for his own selfish interest. The moment he saw that it's an opportunity to level up as a KBC, he jumped ship.
Yeah, hey, but that's
let's
also,
call a hypocrite for what it is. There's nothing also, about it that is beautiful
and I'm not
about
saying,
it.
And I'm not saying that he jumped ship or he didn't jump ship and all. I'm just saying, like, it is beautiful that people can make that decision. But does it mean that it is the right decision? But it still gives them the.
There's no religion in this country today that if you leave, they will kill you. Even Islam, people are converting from Islam every day to that religion.
God help you.
There's nothing like God help you.
God help you.
People are converting
God
help from
you.
Islam
God help
to,
you.
To other
God
religions
help
every
you.
Day.
God help you. Go and do it in somewhere in the corner. God help you.
In the north.
God help you. Go and do it.
Why?
You tell your congregation. The
only time they will rough you is if you now start preaching to them. But if you just quietly.
Are you not going to preach to them?
Baba, if you just quietly convert, pay your thing.
No, but that's the thing.
Nobody go.
But this one
you.
Is making, what's it called? The reason why they probably wouldn't come for him is because maybe he's doing it publicly, and people are highs are there and all. But you know the story of Deborah now that was killed because she was saying like they shouldn't post stuff on WhatsApp, and all and everything.
Yeah,
we know that story now. So for me, I'm saying like I enjoy the Christian faith because it gives people.
You know the thing with Deborah was because I listened to the audio when the conversation the WhatsApp group, she was being a little confrontational or in the way she said what she said. It wasn't like she was trying to witness to them and kill her, right? She was literally being sort of insultive.
Insultive and, for what?
Yeah,
so
in
what?
The sense that, oh, don't send all this your stupid Muhammad recordings to the chat. This chat is meant for this, meant for that. Keep any nonsense. Well, I'm getting away from here, blah blah blah, and that was all going to be said.
I doubt,
right?
But then
I'm telling you what I listened to.
I listened to it, but I don't know
so,
if I got that.
Okay,
but
what did you get
now
when you listened to
now,
it?
That's aside.
You said
now,
that aside. You can't tell me
aside,
what you read.
That's
but
aside.
Me, I'm telling you what
because
I
I'm not. I said I don't think that's what I got. You know.
Okay. But well, you don't know what you got.
Yeah. What's it called? What was I going to say? So what I'm trying to say is that if that was said to, Jesus Christ, you know. People will leave them alone. You know, people will leave them alone because the what's it called? The faith that you carry. If you are going to have to be fighting for your God, then maybe your God is not something that I don't know. If you are going to have to be the one punching people for your God, you know, to literally punching people and killing them for your God, then I don't know. Me, I don't know what type of, you know, God is that. So for me, Christianity is the faith that I think. Is the best, you know, for anybody to embrace because it gives you the willpower to decide if you want to still go or if you don't want to go. And nobody's going to kill you here on earth for that. That's what I'm saying.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay, noted. Like I said, that was on a side note. Moving on. Finally, Gabon. And I want us to just take this on really, really quickly. There's been another coup. This time in a Central African country. The democratic nation in Gabon has experienced an overthrow by another military junta following the recent elections that were held, which saw Mr. Bonga essentially retain his position as the president for another 7-year term. The story of Gabon is interesting because that country has been run by one family for over 53 years. Mind-blowing.
53 years.
Yeah. President Omar Bongo's father was the former president, ruled there for over 30 years or thereabouts. And when he died, Omar Bongo took over as president and he's been there. He's done two seven-year terms already. And then recently, the elections concluded there. He emerged as the winner as well for another 7-year term. Although there's been there've been allegations of serious rigging and electoral malpractice in the election. And altogether, the military have stepped in and they've said, you know what, we're not going this direction anymore. We need to wrestle this country from the hands of democratic dragons. When they've ousted him, the military has swooped in. Omar Bongo himself, they've raided his house. They've seen billions worth of cash packed away in traveling bags.
His house already. I think there was one security. Is a security that they.
They've gone to his house. Then there was all that former governor, the CBN governor, the former standing president, rather. The former standing president as well. He was trying to travel. They accosted him on the truck. They saw a lot of travel bags.
He was trying to.
They opened the travel bags. It was filled with cash. And I'm like, again, they are happy in Gabon, the people, the military has taken over. But is that really the way forward?
That's the question to ask. That is the
Will there be big, anything that different?
That is the $1 billion question. I don't know why. What type of currency are they spending there? I don't like calling
dollars. Listen, francs.
I'm getting tired of calling dollar in our own territory. That's a big question to ask, really. Is the military, Are they going to serve the purpose of the people? That's the thing, you know. And I just know, I don't know, because I mean, wanting to talk about it now, I'm already having a headache. Because it's typical of us in Africa, you know. I know, and the question that I keep asking myself is, wouldn't it have been better? I'm saying this with sadness in my heart, you know.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it have been better to be governed by the colonial guys anyway? Because if at the end of the day, 50 years you said, 53 years you said,
yeah,
these guys have held their country at the throat, you know, without any level of progress whatsoever, and they're just enriching themselves and all. And then look at it, 53 years later, they're not, I mean, getting caught, you know, at the airport with bags of money. That is what they've been reduced to and all. And these guys, the same thing happened. I mean, the same thing is what is happening to Emefiele, you know, and all. Because these guys, I don't know, they just lose their mind when they get into this position. You know, it feels like maybe there is some, and I think there must be some spiritual. Seriously.
No, I think we already agreed on this. Yeah.
There must be some.
Some princes or powers that are running the show. Some
spiritual, what's it called, undertone about it, you know. That just makes them to just lose their mind when they get this power, you know, and then they start to embezzle money, make life miserable for the people. And I mean, it's ridiculous, really.
It's ridiculous. And we are hoping that the people of Gabon will get respite, just like we are hoping that the rest of Africa will get respite. From Africans, Paul Kagame, what's the other guy's name? Paul Biya of Cameroon, after the Gabon incident, they've gone and cleared out the military base, fired people just because if it be you next, if it be you, wherever you don't take shit. Oh my God, that's all we've got time for on the Junction today. We gotta go. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, leave us a comment on Spotify or on Twitter. Give us a shout out. From us at the Junction, we're signing out. We're gonna see y'all next week. Till then, stay jiggy. We out. Peace.